All right, so we're going to get right into our lesson this morning. We're going to forego the other activities, being that it's already 25 after. And you know what? Today's lesson will be briefer than usual, so we'll still finish in time. We're going to start the book of 1 Samuel today. All right, we're going to start a study in the book of 1 Samuel. This is a book that I've been wanting to study for a long time, but to be honest with you, I've stayed away from it because it's a big book. All right, it's a larger book of the Bible, but there's so many good lessons in this book. We'll be in it for a while. I've already done a guess as to how long. Seems like we'll be in the book probably until July. All right, so it's a long haul study. It's about 26 lessons, but I think it'll be very worthwhile. We'll cover at least a chapter a week, but today we'll just do an introduction and background of 1 Samuel, so you have your sheets there. And it says, 1 Samuel is a book which contains great lessons for God's children to learn. So great lessons. Because we're going to see that there's some very interesting people in the book of 1 Samuel. Very interesting people. And you know, that's wonderful. The Bible is a book about people, about humans, about sinners, just like you and I. And we can learn from these stories in the Old Testament and apply them to our lives. So, good lessons for life, and it says a close study of this book will prove to be very profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's for our benefit. This Bible was not given to us just so we can fill our head with facts. This Bible was given to us so we can live better lives, so we can change our lives. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:11, if you turn there, speaks specifically about the Old Testament stories. They're not just there so we can say, isn't that a great story? 1 Corinthians 10:11, let's take a look at that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:11, the Bible says this. Now all these things happened unto them, meaning the Old Testament stories that Paul was just talking about. All these things happened unto them for ensamples, meaning examples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Old Testament stories are there to be examples to us. Sometimes they're examples of what not to do. One of the characters in the book of 1 Samuel, whom is named Saul, is an example of how not to live. Then there's an example of a man named Samuel, and there's good things we can learn from his life. And then David is another main character in the book of 1 Samuel. So, it's examples. So we're going to look at the background here. First is the author. Who wrote the book of 1 Samuel? Well, we know God is the author of the Bible, right? But letter A, Samuel likely recorded most of the material in the book. So Samuel likely recorded most of the material. Now, there's part of the book that Samuel could not have recorded, such as his death. All right. Obviously, Samuel did not record or write about him dying. That would have been a little difficult. So Samuel recorded most of the book, and then letter B, Nathan and Gad, two other men, completed it after Samuel died. Now, there's a verse in 1 Chronicles 29:29 that talks about the books of Nathan and Gad, and many people believe that is the ending of the book of 1 Samuel. So, completed for letter B. Now, letter C, the book was written after 1000 B.C. Sometime after 1000 B.C., nobody knows for sure. Hard to pinpoint, but you're talking B.C. times. About 1,000 years before the birth of Christ was when the book of 1 Samuel was written. And letter D, it covers the 94-year period from the birth of Samuel to the death of Saul. That is the span of the book of 1 Samuel. It covers from the birth of Samuel all the way through to the death of Saul. That's the span of the book of 1 Samuel. So that's the author. Now the main characters, number two. This is what makes this book so great. Yes, Juanita. Okay, C was 1,000. And D is birth and death. All right, and A was recorded and B is completed. Recorded and completed. So now number two, who are the main characters? What makes this book so interesting is letter A. Three very colorful personalities are prominent. We call them colorful personalities. They're interesting characters. You know, the Bible is not a boring book by any means. The Bible is not a boring book, as some people would lead you to believe. Anybody that says the Bible is boring are proving that they haven't read it.
Right.
Okay? Because the Bible is filled with amazing stories. And there's three very colorful personalities. Letter B, Samuel. Samuel was the last judge of Israel. He was the last judge of Israel. So he is the man, Samuel is the man, who followed after Samson. We've studied the book of Judges some time ago. And so Samuel is the judge who follows after Samson dies. All right? Samuel was not a king, but Samuel was a judge, and Samuel was a prophet. He started what was called the school of the prophets, and he did anoint the first two kings. Samuel did anoint the first two kings of Israel. So Samuel was very influential. So he was the last judge. Then letter C, Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And in the very near future, we'll be talking about those early chapters where Israel desires a king and God warns them, says, okay, you're going to get what you ask for. And they did get what they asked for. But Saul was the first king. And then letter D, David was the second king of Israel. And if you talk about an important man in the Bible, David is one of them. Because even the New Testament refers to David and the line of David and how Jesus came from the kingly line of David. So the second king was David. Now, letter E, Saul will become the rejected king. God is going to reject Saul because of some bad decisions Saul will make. We're going to be studying the life of Saul, and Saul makes some very bad decisions, and it costs him greatly. And that's why we say Saul is an example in the Bible of someone not to follow.
Jealousy.
All right? There's many, many faults in Saul's life, so we will look at him. Somebody who starts off good, but ends very badly. And then, so Saul was the rejected king, but David was chosen by God and was the shepherd king of Israel. He was known as a man after God's own heart. Shepherd king. Look at 2 Samuel 7:8. Now that's in the book of 2 Samuel, but it talks about how David was chosen. He was a shepherd boy. Not a powerful position in that culture. But yet he was chosen to be king because he had a right heart. You see, it doesn't matter the educational background. It doesn't matter the political position a person holds. It doesn't matter. All those things do not matter. What matters to God is that you have a right kind of heart and He'll use you. David was not raised in a royal palace. David did not know the first thing about being a king. Yet, God chose him to be a king because he had the right kind of heart. 2 Samuel 7:8, the Bible says, "Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." I mean, he just took him from being a shepherd boy and said, you're going to be king now, David. Talk about a change in job situation. From a shepherd to a king? That's quite a leap. They talk about climbing the corporate ladder, don't they? Step by step, moving your way up. Well, that's quite a jump for David. Shepherd boy, king. No in between there. Now, you know, we know there's a transitional time in between, and we'll talk about that. But what a jump, Brother Tony.
It's the reverse from king to shepherd.
Amen. Good example. Jesus did the opposite, didn't he? That's good. Let's look at 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Again, talking about King David. And it says in 2 Samuel 23, 1, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel." That's King David. And he's a great king, and we'll learn about him. Many of the psalms that were written by David fit into the book of 1 Samuel, as far as when they were written. Because in the book of 1 Samuel, we're going to study how David spent many, many years running for his life. Because King Saul was very jealous of David.
Amen.
Tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin on more than one occasion.
Yes.
So we're going to study that and how David spent many years on the run, living in caves. But yet, even in those hard times, he wrote beautiful psalms that we still enjoy today. So, Shepherd King. Now the setting, number three. What kind of time was this in the book of 1 Samuel? Well, first of all, letter A. This book transitions Israel from a theocracy to a monarchy. Theocracy means rule by God. Monarchy is a rule by a king. And Israel's making a shift from a theocracy to a monarchy. Because they wanted to. They said, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king that we can see. Isn't that the problem of God's people?
Yes.
A lack of faith. Right? Faith is trusting in what you can't see.
Amen.
Lack of faith is saying, I have to see it. It needs to be something I can see. And that's the problem God's people have had from day one. And that's the problem Israel had. Absolutely. They want to see. Don't tell me to worship something I can't see. Give me something I can see. That's been the problem with God's people from day one. And Christians today still struggle with that. They want something they can actually see, grab a hold of, rather than trusting in the invisible God, right? But they said, we don't want to have God as our king only. We want to have a king that we can see. We want to have a king that we can look to, that we can trust in for protection. And God told them, God told Samuel, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, God said.
Amen.
So the setting is this transitions from a theocracy to a monarchy. Letter B, the priesthood was a failure. We're going to see that in the weeks to come. The priesthood was a complete failure. The priests were supposed to be holy. The Levites were supposed to be dedicated to God. And a man by the name of Eli, who was the high priest, had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And those two sons were the most vile, wicked priests that they had. Taking advantage of people, committing immorality, taking advantage, all the things that they're not supposed to do, they were doing. So the priesthood was a failure. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:1 that there was no open revelation from God. There was no open vision in that time. Let's look at 1 Samuel 3:1. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Prophets weren't preaching. It was a spiritually dry time. Very spiritually dry." Sound like today? Any similarities? I think there are many similarities. And letter C, Israel desired to have one centralized leader to protect them. Again, they weren't trusting in God anymore. They wanted a man that they can trust in. God's word strongly condemns trusting in man because the Bible says man will fail you.
Amen.
Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God, who will never fail. But they wanted a man to put their trust in, so God said, okay. Now, the theme and purpose, lastly, number four. Again, a shortened lesson today. Just an introduction, just a background. Next week, we'll dig into chapter one. Theme and purpose, well, letter A, the theme of Samuel is how God, Israel's true king, at the people's request, delegated royal sovereignty, first to Saul, then to David and his lineage. So the letter A is true king. God was their true king, but they asked. They said, well, God, we want to We want an earthly king, and you know, sometimes God gives us what we ask for, doesn't He? And sometimes it's not a good thing. All right? Letter B. God did intend. God intended all along to give Israel a king. Because Deuteronomy, which was written hundreds of years before they ever asked for a king, talks about what kings of Israel were supposed to do and not supposed to do. So God already intended to do it, but it seems like they were getting a little impatient. And God gave them a king. Now you might say, well, what was God doing? Was God giving them up altogether? No, He wasn't, because letter C, yet even during the monarchy, God was still in complete control of setting up and removing kings. So yes, God did give them a king, but God was still in control. Let's look at just a few verses about this. 1 Samuel 15. And God is still in control of who is in positions of authority. Like the person or not, agree with their politics or not, God is the one who puts people in their positions. And we have to still respect those positions. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. The Bible says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And he's speaking to Saul here, Samuel is, and he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul, you're going to lose your position because you are not doing it the right way. So God can take him out. Look at Psalm 75. Just two more verses about this. Psalm 75 and verse 7. So realize God is in control of who is in their positions. Psalm 75, 7. Actually, if you go back to verse 6. For promotion, everybody wants a promotion, right? Everybody wants a promotion, waiting for that promotion. Well, listen, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Where do promotions come from? God. Don't get mad at your boss because you haven't gotten that promotion you've been waiting for. All right, God's in control of who gets promotions and not. Trust in Him. But notice, He can set one up and He can pull one down from their position at any time. And then lastly, Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1. So, as we study the book of 1 Samuel, yes, God gave them a king, and yes, they were looking to a man for leadership now, but God was still in complete control. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. You've heard that phrase, the powers that be. Well, the powers that be are ordained of God. He puts them in their position. And then letter D, as we mentioned, and next week we'll begin studying the chapters, but letter D, Saul's life will powerfully illustrate the high price of disobedience. If there's one thing we're going to learn from the book of 1 Samuel, is that there is a high price for disobeying God. And when you choose to disobey God, there is a high price to pay.
Amen.
And the conclusion says, without 1 and 2 Samuel, there will be a gaping hole in the Old Testament. Amen. So praise the Lord for the book of 1 Samuel. We'll be studying it over the weeks to come. And we'll finish it when it's hot outside and no longer snowing outside. Amen. No more snow. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and we'll have a little bit of time before the morning service.